Welcome, everyone. Thanks for being with me this next hour. You are listening to A Course in Miracles with C.A. Brooks, asking the question, why wait for heaven? On 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way we experience life and spirituality. Today is May 29th, 2015. Today on A Course in Miracles, I'm excited to welcome back author Susan Dugan. Susan is now the author of 3 published books focusing on her personal experiences with A Course in Miracles and specifically with forgiveness. She is the co-founder of the School of Reason for A Course in Miracles, and she facilitates ACIM study groups in Denver, Colorado. Now today we are going to turn our attention to workbook lesson 155. Which is, I will step back and let him lead the way. If you're doing the lessons one a day and you started on January 1st, this lesson is scheduled for June 4th. So pull out your workbooks and we'll do this lesson today. And as you're listening to the show, I invite you to join us in the 1-2 Radio chat room on Facebook. And if you haven't been there before, one of the easiest ways to get there is to go to the 1-2radio.com website, and on the left side of the page, click the chat button. You will be automatically redirected to our private group on Facebook, and you can just ask to join and we'll let you in. Our producer today is Scott Weaver, and he'll take care of that. Thank you, Scott. So good morning, Susan, and welcome.
Hi, C.A. Thank you.
It's so good to hear you, and I'm so excited about your book. I know that we gave away some of your books a few weeks ago, and I've been hearing really good feedback about that, by the way, Susan.
Oh, thanks. I'm glad to hear that. And that was really generous of you. I appreciate it.
Well, it was just so much fun and it worked out perfectly. So I'm just really thrilled about that. And I'm glad somebody, you know, those people have the book and that I've got the book, etc. But today we're going to go back to the workbook with lesson 155. And I was trying to remember actually why I want to say stumbled across this lesson. But I remember one day I was particularly having a hard time. And I think, although I'm not positive, I think I just kind of opened up the workbook and said, you know, I'm just going to read whatever is here. And, you know, I don't remember specifically, but in any case, I somehow landed on this particular lesson. I will step back and let him lead the way. And I read it and it was just, you know, sometimes there's a feeling that I get. It's almost like pouring coconut oil or lotion over your body where all of a sudden you feel comforted. You feel, you know, you somehow just feel good. You know, that's what the image is. And as soon as I started reading this, that's what it was, because the very first line is, there is a way of living in the world that is not here, although it seems to be. You do not change appearance, though you smile more frequently. Your forehead is serene. Your eyes are quiet. And when I read that, I went, ah, you know, it's like I said, it's just kind of like settling in. All of a sudden, the world feels soft again. Or it's like, yes, there is a way of being in the world that doesn't have to be this mumbo jumbo, you know, just franticness. And so I've been reading this lesson over and over for the past couple of weeks. So thank you very much for agreeing to take a look at this lesson with me this morning.
Well, thanks for choosing it. I kind of, you know, it really was when you suggested it last week or whenever, it kind of really spoke to me too. And I think that I love your analogy about it feeling like, you know, being bathed in this like comforting oil or something, because it is very, very comforting. It strikes me in this lesson that how often in the Course Jesus, uses a very subtle way of comforting us by almost giving us our next step. So kind of alluding to what it's like when we choose, when we really are out of the conflict, you know, when we've gotten to, he's talking on kind of 2 levels to us, that in any moment we have a choice to find this better way of living and of being in the world, but not of it. But then also in this journey, this seeming journey that we have, this process of undoing with the Course that allows us to more and more connect with the loving presence of in our right mind that sees only our sameness. He's giving us kind of what it's like to be an advanced, what the manual calls an advanced teacher of God, where mm-hmm. that's kind of where the choices are really really not so much even there anymore because we've made the choice, you know. So he's hinting at the real world in which we, all of our forgiveness, you know, quote unquote lessons, all of our obstacles that we've put in our mind to keep love away, you know, that we see them all differently. And that's where we're being led to at the top of the ladder. So he's speaking to us both where we are now, where, you know, where things still, as I'll say later in this lesson, you know, you may be tempted. Well, we're tempted all the time to think that our grievances, that the things that are troubling us in our lives, that the difficult relationships, the difficult health situations, the difficult world status is the problem. You know, he's speaking to us where we feel conflicted all the time around that and go back and forth between our, you know, our practicing forgiveness and reminding ourselves we're not upset for the reason we think and that we could see peace, but we're not always seeing peace. And then he's taking us to, you know, where this is going to lead, that moment to moment choice right now to decide that, you know, that I want the peace of God, or at least I want to learn that. I want to make being a pupil of Jesus the most important thing. He's giving us that, you know, the opportunity that we have that opportunity right now, but we also, that will lead us, you know, moment to moment to a period of time at the end of this where we really, where all of it, this is complete and we're only in that quiet center. And then we can be demonstrating it consistently to others because there's no inconsistency left within our own mind, you know. So I think it's a beautiful. It's a little bit of a pep talk in here.
Yeah, it definitely is. Yeah.
And you know, and again, he's that faith that he has in us is so palpable in this lesson, and I think that's what you were. Referring to, it's in what we respond to so deeply. It's the need of every heart, you know, is that there is another way, and that the turmoil that we see is not all there is, because that's, you know, as you spend time over years, seeming years in this human condition, it begins to feel like there is no end to the turmoil, you know,
right?
And the Course is offering us a practice that is leading us out of the turmoil back to the mind where the only turmoil really is, so that we can see that there's no need for the turmoil because there was no guilt, there was no separation. And you know, so it really is like the forgotten song calling to us that the Course talks about from outside the dream, that we're all just so deeply longing to hear and accept for ourselves. And you know, then, I mean, the acceptance for ourselves means to accept for everyone, that we really are the same, that we have that same need to go home, to drop this illusion of constant turmoil.
Yes. Well, and you know, there's so many good points in this particular lesson that, of course, are repeated throughout the course in the text and in the workbook, but they're just all over the place. And we can talk about some of those. But another thing that kind of comes to mind, just even looking at the title of this, I will step back and let him lead the way. It makes me think about, we all have very different personalities and some of us are more dominant than others. And I, for one, am, you know, one of the oldest of a large group of, you know, siblings. And a lot of people, sometimes we've had conversations about, well, are you the one who always takes charge, or are you the one who comes through in emergencies? And, you know, throughout my whole life, one thing I've noticed, whether it's with family or friends or whatever the situation is, if there is an emergency, if something's going on, even, you know, even in public, yes, I will step forward and do whatever I need to do. But ultimately, if there's any other person who has more experience, like let's say there is a medical emergency in public, I will do what I can, but if there's a doctor, if there's a nurse, if there's somebody else who steps forward and said, okay, I can take care of this, I immediately let them do it. And in fact, sometimes I feel like I've held it together in stressful situations, and then when somebody else comes along who says, okay, I've got this, then I totally break down. And I recognize that when I see this title, I will step back and let him lead the way, that I'm probably not alone in that almost all of us, no matter how take charge we are, what would we give for somebody else to step forward and just say, I've got this? And that's kind of what I felt when I started reading this lesson again, is that's it. You know, we've got a choice of two different teachers, and the ego always lets us down. You know, it's like it always leads us into division and separation and all of this kind of crap. But here's this teacher that steps forward and says, let me lead the way. I've got this. And how comforting that is. I mean, that's exactly what it felt like to me. I've got this. Somebody was stepping forward and saying that. And so that's one thing about this lesson is, once again, we're reminded over and over, this is about choosing a teacher, choosing a way of thinking. And every single moment, you can choose the right mind. You can choose the essence of love, which is Jesus or however you see that. And that person really is going to say, okay, I've got this.
Yeah. That's exactly right. It's really that relief. What a relief it is.
Yes.
that the way we're going, that we know on some level is leading nowhere. you know, that there is someone who does know where we're going, you know, and can help us get to where what we really want. And so there, you know, it is that learning to follow instead of lead. Learning to be a pupil of Jesus, you know, the Course is Jesus as that symbol of a completely ego-free presence that is all loving to all people, all beings, you know, victims and victimizers. Nobody is left out of this, and that we're really, you know, we can learn to go home together or not at all. We don't know how to do that, but there's someone, you know, built into our mind that does.
Right. Well, and in fact, I think it's like about the third or fourth paragraph in, it says, and so they need a teacher who perceives their madness, but who still can look beyond the illusion to the simple truth. And that's it. You know, the Holy Spirit or the right mind can somehow say, okay, I see you're going a little crazy here, but here's the truth. I can mirror the truth. I can help you see the truth. I can, you know, at least put you back on that path.
Right. Because, I mean, it's, you know, really here, we feel like we're these fugitives
right.
from love. Right. And I was just glancing at what you were at the paragraph you were talking about, and he says, and then, you know, he says, yet when they find their own reality is even here, you know, when we have that sense of love calling to us that there has to be a better way, then they step back and let it lead the way. What other choice is really theirs to make?
Right.
To let illusions walk ahead of truth is madness. And we are in madness, you know? It really, I mean, we have to come to a point of recognizing that this world is a mad, mad place. You know?
Yes, it's a mad, mad, mad world.
Mad world. But to let illusion sink behind the truth and let the truth stand forth as what it is merely sanity. And then this is really, he's talking in this lesson about a sane path, a path back to sanity out of the morass of madness that we have imagined for ourselves, you know, and that we have made so complex. And we seem so bombarded by all these problems that have no real solutions of any value, you know, that we think that there is no way out. And he's,
right.
You know, and as you said, he's saying, wait a minute, I've got your back. You know, there's a way out of here. This, you did not destroy love. And if you will just step back and let me lead. And just recognize, I mean, our job, again, and you and I have talked about this so many times in these, in our chats, is you know, our only job is to really recognize the madness and say, you know, I don't want this anymore. You know, it's not for the reason I think. And there is peace somewhere in my mind. And I want to find it. I want to learn. And so it's really that path, you know, the path back to sanity, the path of making the new purpose of my life being a pupil of Jesus, is learning to follow instead of lead, looking at the content of my life as a curriculum, looking at my life as a classroom in which I'm learning from this new teacher every time I'm tempted to be frightened by the madness, to jump in and try to solve the madness that can't be solved, you know,
mm-hmm.
myself. In all these emergencies, you know, I identify with what you were talking about earlier too, because I'm an oldest child, and you know, have that sort of that knee jerk reaction of, you know, someone must take over, and the someone is me, the only one is me. It's not because you really have confidence in yourself; it's just by default, right?
Right. It's what you're used to.
It's the role you seem to have been dealt.
Right.
But again, it's, you know, we don't have to. It, when we're confronted with those things that scare the hell out of us, and we feel that need to fix and solve and save and rescue, then you know, even as we are going through something that's difficult, we can within the mind, because that's where all the action is really happening, quote unquote. Nothing's really happening, but that's where this is all being playing out. We can go back and step back to the mind and say, you know, I want to follow you. I want to be within that quiet center with you as I deal with whatever seems to be going on out there. And I mean, that's the only place in which comfort lies. And then whatever turmoil seems to be happening out there, you know, I'm not going to let it rock my world. It's impossible to let it take my peace away and have the power to do that unless I let it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Unless I want it to, and there's a part of us that wants it to, but when we see that we have a choice, as he's suggesting here, and that there is a way out of this madness, then the same thing to do is to step back and recognize, you know, I've made the wrong choice, I'm mistaken, but I can step back and let you lead the way.
Yes. Well, and you know, another part of this lesson that I absolutely love, that I think is very important, is now down into paragraph like maybe 4 or 5. And it's talking about, well, it starts out, if truth demanded they give up the world, it would appear to them as if it asked the sacrifice of something that is real. Many have chosen to renounce the world while still believing its reality, and they have suffered a sense of loss, and they have not been released accordingly. Others have chosen nothing but the world, and they have suffered from a sense of loss still deeper, which they did not understand. And I love that, because isn't that very much the human condition, especially for what I consider spiritual seekers? You know, I mean, how many of us have not been off on this path believing that, well, if I just give this up, if I give this up, or if I meditate for 2 hours a day, or if I do something that somehow seems like I'm denying the power of the body, or I'm denying happiness, or denying something, then, oh, now I'm going to be more spiritual, or somehow now I'm going to know the way. And yet then we turn and go, okay, enough of that. It didn't do what I wanted it to do. So now I'm going to only consider what makes me happy, or what the body is. We see these two different paths as being very counter. And the truth is they are counter, and neither one of them leads to happiness. And then in the next paragraph, it says between these paths, there is another road that leads away from loss of every kind, for sacrifice and deprivation both are quickly left behind. And that's such an important concept, I think, in the Course and in this belief system, is that there is a different way, and it's not about denying the world. It's not about becoming some kind of recluse or becoming a hermit. There is a way to live in this world in which we can acknowledge it without kind of believing it. And like I said, I think that's important, because maybe it's just me, but I think we love to run between two opposites and two continuums. Maybe that's the process or what it means to live in duality.
Right, absolutely. I mean, I think I love what you said about, for people on, you know, that have been trying to, spiritual seekers,
uh-huh.
Right? And who, you know, we think that if we deprive ourselves and we purify ourselves somehow through, you know, that's what monastic traditions are all about, really. That's what so much, you know, of the saints, kind of, and when you think about going back in history, of, you know, denying the body, punishing the body, but of course it makes the body very real, doesn't it?
Yes.
You know, and the body is still front and center, and then you know, you can't figure out why you can't come to any real peace, you know, and then the opposite side of that for spiritual seekers would be the whole. The quest to kind of, you know, convince ourselves that we can somehow manipulate the world and you know, and to become sort of this playground in which we manifest our dreams, and that that is somehow spiritually satisfying. And you know, to get what we want, to get a better job, to get a better relationship, to get for money, fame, you name it. And of course, and he says that that leads to even more of a sense of vacancy within, you know. And so between these paths, we have this other way that does not recognize sacrifice of any kind. I mean, the Course says that it is within your power to give up the whole idea of sacrifice. You know, the tiny mad idea itself was one of sacrifice, that we sacrificed God that we might live, you know, and we're reenacting that all the time. And sacrificing the whole ego thought system is you or me, one or the other, you know, you must be sacrificed or I must be sacrificed. Someone must,
somebody's got to lose.
Somebody's got to pay for what happened, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're constantly trying to, the attempt to purify ourselves or the attempt to fill ourselves up from the outside is both a reflection. They're, you know, they're just two sides of the same coin in which we're trying to make up for the original sacrifice that we believe occurred. And so the same path is, you know, as the Course says, there's nothing really to do in a desert but leave. I mean, that's the same thing to do. And so, you know, in between these two paths is a vertical path back to the mind, in which there is a quiet center, and in which we can see that none of these choices in the world is real or really matters, because you know, there's nothing to make up for. There's no guilt to, the separation never happened, and so there's no guilt to atone for. All that is necessary is that we heal this split mind that we all share, that is you know, is constantly bouncing back and forth between the ego and the spiritual ego, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ego and the spiritual ego. That's what those are the choices that we think we have. And the spiritual ego, of course, is never satisfied, because again, it never gets at the guilt that is fueling our sense that something needs to be atoned for or fulfilled. And, you know, and then the ego self that is all about me, 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 never and get more and more in the world, that never gets satisfied either. So the path in between is to return to the decision-making mind and be with Jesus.
Right.
Be with Jesus, who knows that nothing, which is really a part of our mind. It's just the right mind that knows that we're all safe. We're all fine. You know, everything is the end is sure. It is all healed. Nobody's guilty here. And everyone, nothing that anyone has ever done, including myself, has ever changed God's love for them or the way that's reflected is it can't change my love for you in this relationship. It can't, you know, what I'm trying to make real, the sacrifice of the special relationship that, you know, this constant, trying to get my view to comply with my needs, which is you know, never works ultimately. That we can let that go when we see that we're just the same, that we all have only the same need, and that, you know, we share only the common interest of healing our mind and remembering that there is a love that we share that is the real love that can never be broken, that can never be destroyed. And has never been destroyed. And you know, all of the complexity, all of the neediness, all of my agendas and the list of what I need to be happy, it falls away in that moment that we're willing to truly stand back and follow sanity, you know, follow love.
Right. Well, and even just that concept, you know, of the illusion stepping back when we let truth step forward.
Right.
You know, it's not a big fight. It's not a big fight. It just has no choice.
It's an acceptance. And it's Ken always talked about, and I'm sure you've heard him talk about this, he talked a lot about how when we go to our right mind, it's as though the dream is still, we still see the dream. it's, you know, we still are aware of what's happening in the world, but its importance, the meaning that we give it, completely recedes. And what comes to the forefront, and he's using language, Jesus is using language in lesson 155 a lot like this. What rises forth instead is the reality, is the certainty, the completion, the unwavering compassion for all of the right mind. And so as we so it works both in the moment when we return to sanity and we have that holy instant the Course talks about outside of time, where we really have that aha, you know, this is, everything's really okay in this situation that I thought was so threatening. But then it's also healing long term within this seeming illusion of time, in that, you know, more and more on our journey, the reality of what seems to, you know, the quote unquote reality of the dream seems to begin to sort of fade a little bit more and more into the background as more and more guilt is undone, and we're really kind of clinging less and less to having it our way, to seeing it our way, to making it all about me. And so I think, I don't know, what about UCA, but I think that this for me is, it's kind of true on the journey. I mean, as much as I still am having a lot of turmoil, there's a part of us that recognizes, you know, that this is really not what I want. And it doesn't seem, you know, our belief in it is weakening somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, I compare it to another thing that Ken used to say about reaching for, you know, it's like reaching for that muscle of judgment and you know, pain and grievances, and it just doesn't seem quite as robust.
right.
You know, it feels like it's weakening, like it's atrophying from not spending as much time strengthening it, you know. And so, you know, this stepping back, and, you know, when we catch ourselves reaching for that muscle over time, we've been willing to at least open our hand and say, you know what, I don't want to strengthen this. I want to choose sanity instead. And so it really, you know, the Course again is a negative path of undoing. It's really not like there's any other muscle to reach for. We just are. But as you let go of this, or at least willing to relax that muscle and to say, I don't want to strengthen it anymore, you know, it is becoming weaker and weaker and fading. You know, the illusion seems a little bit less real, a little bit less something I can really side with. You know, at one point I was 100% behind it, and now I'm not. You know, now I have a lot of doubt that is what I want. I know it's not leading me in the direction I want to go. And then we have those times where it just, you know, we go to reach for that muscle and we find it disabled,
mm-hmm.
you know?
And I love your word robust,
mm-hmm.
because that's kind of how it feels. And, you know, I wish I'd had more experiences like this. I have to say there's been very few, but I have had a few where I was totally adamant about something. I was so wanting to control a particular situation. And, you know, if I explained what it was, you know, you'd say, yeah, you had every right to try to control that situation. But ultimately, there were the other people involved, and I really couldn't control it. And even though I had a large investment emotionally in controlling it, I finally one night just said to myself, I can't do this anymore. I just cannot fight this. I can't do it. I'm just going to let it go. And whatever happens, happens. And the next morning, it was the amazing thing, because that's it. It's like whatever robustness was there, all of a sudden, it was just like the sun had come out and melted the snow. It just wasn't there. I couldn't even almost conjure up that feeling. I couldn't get it to come back. And I thought, wow, this is what it feels like to step back, or this is what it feels like to forgive, because I just can't, like I said, I can't even conjure up the emotion anymore.
Right. And it's, I mean, at the end, you know, at the result of that willingness to say, I can't do this anymore. I want a different way. I want to see it like you do, whatever words, you know, you're using to yourself. It is, and the giving up, it is like a real giving up. this just isn't working. And, you know, you said that it involved other people, because doesn't it always? That's what makes it seem so real. But it's just that it's you know, when we're willing to do that, it is like it's not, we come, you know, the result of that, sometimes, you know, in a shorter seeming time frame and sometimes in a longer seeming time frame. But the ultimate result of that is it's not there. It's undone. You can't access anymore what the cause of why you were so upset. And that's kind of amazing, you know, at least on a feeling level. You can intellectually, but you can't on a feeling level. It's not there. It's not important.
Right.
And it has receded. It's gone. And so, you know, who wouldn't want to be able to do that, you know, because God, we put ourselves through so much stress and so much. I mean, I'm one of those people that has like an endlessly active mind, you know, and it just, I mean, it just, I'm, you know, I'm a worrier and everything is about, and trying to solve problems in my mind. And, you know, and it seems to be like completely out of my control, but you know, but it isn't, that's a lie. And so, you know, even when that turmoil is going on, you can say, you know what, I don't want this. Let it go. Let it fall where it may, kind of as you were suggesting. And you know, there is a presence in here. There is that wonderful teacher, this love within my mind that's completely supporting everyone in this situation. And I don't have to try to micromanage it, you know. And he kind of, I think he, toward the end of this lesson, and maybe we can read that in a little bit, but he talks about walking kind of with him, you know, walking this road with him, this journey. And that's what it is. It's this, you know, my way isn't working. And, you know, I think that as course students, we sometimes fall into the pitfall I do, of being unrealistically assuming that we're not going to have all these ego thoughts, you know, that it's just going to be completely gone. And we get disappointed and hard on ourselves about the fact that we're still having judgments. And the course doesn't say, or that we're still getting angry or we're still feeling threatened. The course doesn't say that we don't have emotions. you know, it says that anger is never justified, but it doesn't say don't get angry. It's saying that those, you know, that's what where we are. That's what's happening in our mind. But it's saying don't justify it. It's saying, you know, stop when you find yourself getting angry, and just remind yourself that you know, it's not for the reason I think. This is not what it seems, and it's really love I'm afraid of here. And I can, you know, I can ask for help right now, to really step back and allow, you know, accept where I am. But also accept that this is not the reality, and I want sanity. You know, this is hurting me too much, and I want to let it go.
Right. And that is the point that we kind of get to, or at least that I do. Like, I remember that night very vividly. It wasn't as if I was voluntarily giving it up, but I had tried every single thing under the sun. I had tried everything. And nothing had worked. And so that's it. It's almost like I hit a brick wall and said, okay, you've got no choice. You know, you've got to, and this is just too painful. So I've got to let it go.
Pain is our great motivator. It totally is, you know, and again, it's, I mean, sometimes there's times, and you know this too, probably, or I don't know, maybe experience it this way, but you know, I just went through a whole, you know, 4-day graduation kind of weekend thing involving a lot of other people and my daughter, who's very, you know, my special love relationship. And, you know, all the highs and lows of that, the drama, the high emotions, the, you know, the weather, the craziness, the people having meltdowns, you know, all the things that occur when you're in that kind of thing. You almost feel like you're on like kind of this like forgiveness ride, you know, kind of surfing the waves of what's going on. But, you know, but within all of that, in each thing that arises, you know, you can't control it. You can't, you know, we're not, this isn't about controlling what's happening in the classroom. This is about which teacher we're experiencing it with, which teacher we're willing to look at it with. And I mean, the truth is, it's way too painful to try to do this by myself. There's just no way anymore that I can do that by myself and ever have peace. I know that, you know?
And you know, another thing that this lesson actually brings out, which I find interesting, that I think we need to be continually reminded of, is you don't look any different. You know, it says that. It says the person, even though they may have peace of mind, they may not look different to other people, and yet their effect is different. What they're feeling is different. They're feeling peace of mind, and other people feel that sense of love and peace emanating from them. But if you just look at their behavior, if you look at how they dress, if you look at the kinds of activities they're doing, they're going to movies, or they're going out to dinner, or they're being with their family and friends, it looks the same from the outside. It is a path that isn't of deprivation. It's not a path that looks behaviorally very much different than what other people are doing. But inside, when you choose a different teacher, your experience is completely different.
Absolutely. It's what Ken used to say about being normal.
Yes.
I mean, as long as we still are, you know, inhabiting a body, or believe that we're here until the very, 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 very end. Well, and even in the real world, you know, you look normal. You act normal. You're not announcing any kind of, you're not trying to convert anybody. You're not, you know, drawing attention to yourself in any way. It's just the be within the mind, interacting from a place of peace and of compassion for all, and really seeing, you know, I mean, it's really just that very, very quiet way of being in this world, but not of it, in the sense that, you know, that we're all safe. You know that we all share the same interest of going home, and that we made it. You know, I mean, eventually in the real world, we know we made it.
Right.
But in the moment, we can have that holy instant in which we reflect the awareness that we made it, and that everybody makes it. And you know, the way that I think translates into how we interact with each other is that when there are these, you know, when we're thrown off balance and it seems like it's the drama going on outside ourselves or in somebody else's meltdown, you know, we can see that this is just a reflection of my own mind in need of healing. And yeah, you know, I mean, have complete compassion will come from that choice to step back and follow Jesus, because, you know, we will recognize that this person shares the same ego that I do, and we're all afraid of love. And so, you know, why would I condemn someone for being afraid of love? I'm afraid too, you know? And so when we return to that sameness, that awareness that we're all the same. And again, you know, it suddenly dawns on us through our choice that we do make it home anyway, that we're all really safe. Then that is that decision to accept that for ourselves is reflected in ways we can't understand to everyone. You know, there's a calmness that is strength to everyone involved around you when you make that choice. And whether they reflect it in their behavior or not, you know, on some level, it is a comfort to all.
Right. Well, and in this lesson, it says your feet are safely set upon the road that leads the world to God. Look not to ways that seem to lead you elsewhere. Dreams are not a worthy guide for you.
Yes. Yeah, it's just walk safely now yet carefully. You know, he keeps talking about he says all roads will lead to this one in the end.
Yes.
Choice and deprivation are paths that lead nowhere. Choices for defeat and aims that will remain impossible. All this steps back as truth comes forth in you to lead your brothers from the ways of death, and step them on the way to happiness. Their suffering is but illusion. Yet they need a guide to lead them out of it, for they mistake illusion for the truth. So we're not really guiding them out of that, but our acceptance of our own guide, of everyone's guide within, is leading all of us out of it, you know, because we're one.
Mm-hmm.
Just fragments of the same self. And so how could it not be leading us all, you know?
Right.
I mean, that's that beautiful section at the end of, I think, I always say my favorite section, but you know, it's one of
one of the many.
In the text, at the end of the obstacles to peace, the lifting of the veil, and you know, he talks about how we go home together or not at all. And but what keeps us here is that you know, is our fear, is our guilt. And so, you know, when it says all roads lead to this one in the end, we get to the point where, you know, we have to recognize that we can't ride off into the sunset with Jesus, you know, alone. I mean, and that's kind of what we want to do. We have to really, you know, we can't have I mean, I was just thinking this the other day. It was like, because I was having the thought that I just want this all to be so perfect and conflict free this time right now, you know?
Right.
But we don't, but that our classroom, our lessons are, you know, we made a conflicted world in our mind. And so the way that we let more and more guilt go is not to withdraw from that conflict. That doesn't work, to try to purify ourselves and distance ourselves from it, but to just accept that this is my guilt I'm looking at. This is my fear of God, of peace, of love that I'm looking at, and allow that this is the way that it will be healed, is for me to change my mind about it. And that's the miracle that the Course talks about. It's not about everything being perfect for my daughter's graduation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah, really. Are you sure, Susan?
But it is about learning what we really want to learn. And that is that, you know, that nothing outside my mind has the power to take my peace away. And really, really that nothing anyone says or does changes my love for them or the love that, you know, that we share, which means my love for myself too, you know? So that's a lesson that we all want to learn. And this is how we do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there's another line in this lesson that I love too. And it says, I mean, because, you know, I'm the person always saying, okay, how do I do it? Tell me what to do. You know, I want a path. I want a plan. Show me the steps. And this says, and now he asks, but that you think of him a while each day, that he may speak to you and tell you of his love, reminding you how great his trust, how limitless his love.
Yes.
And see, once again, how simple, just think of him a while each day. Can you just stop even for a few minutes and say, oh, there must be another way.
Right. And it is just that constantly throughout our day, reminding ourselves of our purpose. You know, my purpose is to awaken from this dream, not root myself more deeply in the dream. And because I want to feel better, I want to heal. And so, you know, remembering Jesus is a way, or Holy Spirit, whatever symbol you're working with, is a way of remembering, you know, this is what I want to learn. And, you know, again, that we can become sort of a happy learner when we just look at, it's not about what's the events of how things turn out today in the world. In behavior, it's about how willing I am to heal, to let it go, to stand back, and let him you know guide me in the sense of connect with the guidance, the quiet center that is offered to us, that same awareness. And you know, that's what I really want. That is all I really want, and all that is really real within. And so, so thinking of him a little bit every day, I mean, that's something that I think you incorporate in more and more as you work with this. And sometimes for me, it's just remembering, you know, sometimes all I really need right now is you, is the way I think of it. And I try to go back to that, presence, that awareness of that Jesus is within me still. And he, and in this lesson, again, the faith that he has in us is so great. You know, we have no faith, any basis for faith, because we're looking to form. And, but, you know, and we're always looking to our weakness, evidence that weakness is real, but we have this tremendous strength in us that is so close to us, as he says in the workbook, in the introduction to the second part of the workbook, so close to you, we cannot fail.
Right.
Cannot fail. You know, we just, if Jesus has faith in us and, you know, has really an awareness of all inclusive love, then who's more likely to be right? You know?
Yeah. Yeah, who's more likely to be right? And see how wonderful to really, for all of us, if we could just get that feeling, we can literally step back, let him lead the way. We can let somebody who knows better than us to say, I've got your back.
Whatever.
I've got your six, you know, whatever the saying is, I've got this.
Yes, what a relief. I mean, it really is a relief. And I think that's almost how you usually experience it when you give up like that. You know, it's just like, no. You know, there's no way. And the awareness of paying attention, close attention that the Course is asking us to, you know, become mindful to what we're really feeling and what the choices seem to be in the dream and all of that, that really shows us over time that there are no good choices here. There's no good choices here, period.
You know? Right.
None of them work. And it says that over and over. We miss that a lot, but it, you know, there's no choice in the world is going to lead to what we want. None. Zero. Zip. Nada.
But we have to try them all out first, don't we, Susan?
Trying, don't we? Yes.
Oh, well, Susan, thank you so much. And, you know, I'm looking at the clock and recognizing that we need to wrap up for today. So I'd ask you, do you have any closing comments about this particular lesson or any announcements that you'd like to make? What are you up to?
Up to, well, you know, I'm actually very busy. I'm going to be moving my daughter and we're taking a family vacation to celebrate the graduation, and then I'm going to be helping her move and relocate to Seattle to take a job. So I'm really busy, but announcement wise, I do have a new book that's out. It's only been out a few weeks, and it's called Forgiveness, the Key to Happiness. And it's another essay collection of really what it's like to try to learn to live a forgiving life, just to this very lesson, to step back and let him lead the way. You know, what does that look like specifically in our lives? And how does that, you know, one thing maybe we forgot to mention in our talk today is that you know, we take everything when we're in the painful process of trying to solve things in the world, within the world. We're very serious and we're, you know, everything is very, very heavy.
Yeah.
But the result of practicing this, that relief when we step back ends in at least moments of mirth.
Yes.
Of laughter, because it's the taking it seriously of the tiny mad idea of separation in the first place that was the only mistake. And so really as we unlearn that mistake along the way, we become more lighthearted. And I feel that while there's a lot of pain that I'm describing in these books, there's also a lot of laughter, because that's where we end up when we practice, you know.
There is a lot of laughter. In fact, I've always said from the very beginning, in fact, when I didn't know you very well and I first started reading that first book and I talked to you on the phone, I didn't know if I was going to insult you. I said, you know, I'm just laughing my head off. These are really funny. And I thought, is she going to be like hurt? But you weren't. But that is, I mean, because I think it's, you can back off and laugh at yourself because you recognize you've been in the same situation.
Right. And laughing at ourselves is the best medicine, you know, but again, we can't, it has to be genuine laughter. It has to come from that recognition that, you know, this is just silly. It's just crazy. It's crazy. I'm just being crazy again.
That's right. And I'd remind people that Susan's books are available at Amazon.com. You can get it for Kindle, or you can actually get a soft, bound version of it. And her three books are Extraordinary, Ordinary Forgiveness, Forgiveness Offers Everything I Want, and then the newest one, Forgiveness, the Key to Happiness. And I recommend all three of them. I mean, they're all just really wonderful. So, you know, I'd really recommend that you get those. And it's nice to just pick up and read even a few pages, just read an essay here and there. So, Susan, thank you so much for those books.
Thank you, C. I appreciate it.
I mean, they truly are such a blessing. And any other announcements before we close the show today?
Just the usual, endorsement. for the Foundation for A Course in Miracles in Temecula, California. They have a wonderful website, which I think, Sia, you have posted.
I always post it in the chat room.
Yes, and there are wonderful, go and look at their recent announcements, their bookstore, their classes. The Temecula schedule will tell you of any upcoming classes that are going on, any bookstore sales. It's all on that website. And there's also wonderful questions and answers on that website under online resources. There's articles that Ken wrote, all free, all downloadable. And there could not be a better resource if you're really trying to learn and practice and live this forgiving life.
Good. Well, thank you, Susan. And thank you so much for being here today. And audience, also, you can find Susan on her website, www.forays, that's F-O-R-A-Y-S, forays.com. So, Susan, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, CA. It's a pleasure always.
All right. And I look forward to our next conversation.
Me too.
Okay. Bye-bye. I'd like to thank everybody listening today for making A Course in Miracles part of your day. I'd also like to thank everybody who participated in the chat room. And thanks to Scott Weaver, who is our producer. You can find me for readings, personal consultations, mentoring, and coaching on 1-2-listen.com. You can also find me on Tuesdays for my show, Simple Tales, where we discuss one of my favorite illusions in the dream world, astrology. I'm live every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 Eastern. You can also find me every Thursday evening on 1-2 Academy, teaching astrology basics. I'd like to encourage you all to stick around today, where we have many, many more shows, live programming here on 1-2 Radio, and you have about 5 minutes before the next show starts. Christine Dumaurier coming up next on The Through Line. Until next week, relax and wear loose clothes. You've been listening to A Course in Miracles with C.A. Brooks, with my guest, Susan Dugan, on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way you think about life and spirituality.